Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel, page Nun Aleph. Page Nun Aleph in your Rachaim. Hu Haya Imer. Now here, Herbie was kind enough to ask me a question, so I had time to look it up. This Mishnah and a couple of others in Pirkei Avos is in Aramaic, as opposed to the rest of Pirkei Avos, which is in the traditional Hebrew of Mishnayos. It's a basic difference between Mishnayos and Gemara, that Mishnayos is in Lashon Kodesh, and typically written there in Yisrael, and Gemara is Aramaic, Talmud Bavli at least, is written in Bavel. The question is why this Mishnah is presented in Aramaic. I mentioned to Herbie that I have a Sefer that I know will mention something about it. There's a Sefer on Pirkei Avos entitled Likutei Sheish. We have it here in the... We have it here. It was written by a young man from the yeshiva, from Torah V'Da'as, who at that time was an executive in IDT. I suppose his IDT was on the decline. He had plenty of time on his hands. But he wrote a beautiful sefer on Pirkei Avos. Has all the basics, really, just all the basics. And he quotes there the explanation of those Mishnayos which were written in Aramaic because of their added importance. They were given over in the vernacular, in the language that people are comfortable with. We know that even when Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael, they were speaking Aramaic. And we see that in the book of Ezra, which is written, a great piece of it is written in Aramaic. It suddenly in middle of switches to Aramaic, and it goes back to Hebrew many parakim later. And the reason is that Aramaic was the vernacular. Jews who returned to Eretz Yisrael, for whatever reason, reasons are offered, but were not speaking Lashon Kodesh. They were speaking Aramaic. And these Mishnayos that are written in Aramaic are written in that way as if to underscore the point that this is an important point. It brings to mind in the Pachad Yitzchak, or Futnis Pachad Yitzchak, which is of course written in Hebrew, we'll have every once in a while a comment typed in English characters, in English words. The idea, for example, his mimer on nature abhors a vacuum, which he attaches to Divrei Musar, but Divrei Machshava, but has typed in English the words nature abhors a vacuum a number of times. As if to underscore that's the point of that mimer. The idea is expressed that way. So at any rate, these Mishnayos, as if to italicize them or show them that they're very important. So you're all very fortunate. You came tonight, you're going to learn something very important. As opposed to other nights in which you learn something important. Tonight was something very important. Hu Haya Omer. So this is again Hillel, who's given here a second Mishnah, two slots in the Mishnayos. Hu Haya Omer, the Gid Shema Avad Shema Udola Moisif Yosef. It's good. It's written in Aramaic, so we understand it much more easily. Negid Shema Avad Shema. Avad Shemei. Negid Shema Avad Shemei. Someone who pursues a name loses his name. You run after COVID, you lose it. Unless you're running for president. Udala Moisif Yosef. Actually, in politics, it is that way. Most successful politicians end their career in some sort of disgrace or disappointment, which is God's way of evening it out at the end.
They become under the microscope.
They come under, some of them. Yosef. And somebody who does not add dies. Somebody who doesn't improve is gone. What are you in this world for? A person's given time in this world not to coast on what he's accomplished, but to be Yosef, to add to what he's accomplished. Udolam Yosef, if you don't add Yosef, it's time to give you the neshama back. V'loyolif ketala chayiv. Somebody doesn't learn. It's chayiv misa.
Is that coming from Shorish of Sayif? Sayif?
Sayif? Maybe. I understood it to mean Yosef and Loshna v'yasef al amav. Okay, Sayif. Udishtamish betaga chalof. And somebody who uses the crown, it's also chayiv misa, using the crown of Torah. Somebody who uses the crown of Torah for personal benefit, Chalof is should leave. It's over. So in very strong Lashon, he says four things. Three of them are people who don't deserve to live. The Lamasif Yosef, somebody who's stagnant, who doesn't improve himself, has no benefit in life. Loyalif, somebody who doesn't learn Ketola Chayiv. Or Dishtamish Betogan, someone who does learn, but uses that crown of Torah for personal benefit, Chalof is, should trade his place in this world. So let's see how Rechaim Volozhin looks at this. Here, as opposed to the previous Mishnayis, he is a bit more marach. The Gid Shema, Avad Shemei. Yishalaymit Torah, Tamid Shalay Lishma. Kadei Shia Shamay Halachamei Rachaik. Somebody who's learning, constantly, Shalay Lishma, only because he wants, to have a name for himself. Then will be that even the good name he had previously will be lost. Nobody starts as a Lishma Jew. Even though when you begin to learn, you may begin with Shalai Lishma. A person can't climb a ladder unless he first puts his foot on the lowest rung of the ladder. There's no sin in stepping on the first rung of the ladder. If an Eved will be commanded by his master to climb a ladder, there's nothing wrong by standing on the bottom rung. If his boss tells him, climb the ladder, and he just stands on the bottom rung, and he will not attempt to go up. And he'll step up and down off the bottom rung. He's making fun of his Adon's command. He's rebelling. What?
Or he's a civil servant.
Or he's a civil servant, okay. If he doesn't continue to climb, Yosef. So then he should be gathered in. So the idea is that it's okay to start on the lowest rung of the ladder, but you have to climb further. And here in my print, they bring on the bottom a Nefesh HaChaim. I have to tell you, there are different understandings of Chazal's concept that Lo'ilam Yasig Adam B'Torah V'Mitzvah Shalai Lishma, that a person should look to do Torah Mitzvah Shalai Lishma, Shemitach Shalai Lishma B'Lishma. With the idea that if you start Shalai Lishma, you'll come ultimately to Lishma. There are numerous insights into what that means, a simple meaning. You start Shalai Lishma and work your way up to Lishma, but there are difficulties with that. Let me explain. Rechaim Volozhin holds that B'Tayr Shalai Lishma B'Lishma means if you're going to sit down and learn Shalai Lishma, you're going to learn for whatever Shalai Lishma reason you have. And the Rambam, by the way, says that learning to get Olam Haba is also Shalai Lishma. That's the Rambam Shita in the ninth parak of Hilchos Teshuva. I would think, for Olam Haba, that's Lishma, still Shalai Lishma. So Reb Chaim Volozhin says that it's not possible, if you're going to be learning, that sometime in the middle of your learning, you're going to hit a Lishma. You're going to hit a minute of Shalai Lishma, a moment of Lishma. He gives an example. He says, you're learning a sugya. And at one point, the words of, let's say, Abaya or Rava are difficult to you. And you're going to intensely either look for or think about some way of resolving the problem. Now, to get Olam Haba, you don't have to resolve the individual problem. You can just keep on learning. So the moment that a person seeks the truth of the Torah he's learning, and that's sort of forgetting his Shalai Lishma and using a moment of Lishma. That's what Chaim Volozhin is, Mitech Shalai Lishma Balishma. That from Shalai Lishma, you'll come to Lishma means if you're learning, at some point you're going to do something Lishma. There are a lot of problems with his Shita. Here he brings one of the questions. First let me tell you the question I had always on this. Rechaim Volozhin says that if you're going to learn Torah Shalai Lishma, you'll hit a moment of Lishma. One problem is that the Gemara says, Lo'ilam Yasek Adam B'Torah Uv'Mitzvahs Shalai Lishma, Shemitah Shalai Lishma B'Lishma. When you talk about learning, Rechaim Volozhin's explanation is understandable. You'll immerse yourself in the learning, you'll hit upon a Lishma. It's a little more difficult when you talk about doing a mitzvah, which doesn't draw you into it as much. You put up a mezuzah, you're putting up a mezuzah shalai lishma, how is that going to draw you into the lishma? It's a little more difficult to understand. That's interesting. that the Rambam brings Mater Shalosh Mabushal two times. Once in Hilchas Tshuva, and once in Hilchas Talmud Torah. In Hilchas Talmud Torah, the Rambam writes the following words. He says, Tchilas Dina Shalodam Eini Alda Ala Torah. When you come upstairs on the big day, the first thing they ask you about is learning. Lefikach Amru Chachamim. Therefore, Chazal said, Lo'elim Yasigadim B'Torah Shalai Lishma Asher B'Torah Shalai Lishma Ba'al Lishma. And therefore, learning is so important. It's the beginning of your Din Torah. That you better do it, even Shalai Lishma, so you'll get to a Lishma. Now, that Rambam is similarly difficult because the Gemara says Torah and Mitzvahs should be Shalai Lishma to come to Lishma. And therefore, it's hard to understand how the Rambam can give a reason that since the person's first judgment is on Torah, therefore, it's not only Torah. So I don't know what the answer is, but we see that in learning Torah, there's some special consideration that a person, that the learning Shalai Lishma is of great importance. I'm not sure how to explain, how to reconcile it with the Gemara, but that we see from the Rambam. And on that, Rav Chaim Volozhin is commenting that doing Shalai Lishma sometime in your learning, you'll get to a moment of Lishma. If you'll stay in a very topical learning, you may not hit it, but if you immerse yourself in the learning, it's Efsha that there won't be a moment of the Shema.
But that's not consistent with Moshef Yosef. It's not good enough for just a moment. You have to...
We always have to keep on growing. It's true. Well, hopefully, as you learn, there'll be more such moments. And learning is that way, because the more a person becomes a learner, the more he cares about the words he says, the more he gets a geschmack once in a difficulty and resolving it. It's gonna be Moshef. It's going to keep on happening. Do you know from where we learn Mitash Shalashma Balashma? If I don't remember, I always rely on Rav Chaim. We learn it from 2 weeks from now, Parashah. From Balak.
Yeah, Balak
it's an amazing thing. Balak brought Karbanis to God, right? He believed in God. Bilam, you know, he believed Bilam will talk to the Rabbi Shalalim, the Yudke Vavke, our God. And it's going to work. And he brought Karbanis, 42 Karbanis. He brought, hoping that God would destroy Klal Yisrael and he would find some schus because of the Karbanis. So on that, Chazal say that since he meant it, he showed clear faith in God by bringing these Karbanis, even though Shalai L'Shma was to destroy Klal Yisrael. But Zachav Yatzi Menu Rus. So Rus came from him. What?
Balak
was Lishma? Well, for the purpose of reward is always Shalai Lishma. And he brought the Karbanis for the purpose of a reward, which is not a very good reward to destroy Klal Yisrael. But even if he did it just to hit the jackpot to win the lottery, it's also Shalai Lishma. The Amunah was Karban Hashem, it was real Amunah. So you know, every once in a while someone comes to talk to me. He talks to me about the fact that he's angry at God for something or other that happened to him. Many abuse victims have, as a result, an anger at God. And at the end, I always try to comment to them, you know, you want to give a good spin on it. I tell them, the individual that approaches me, I tell him that, you know, you're a bigger mammon b'Hashem than I am. You believe in God more than me. You walk around angry at him. And that's something.
As Rabbi Miller said, that a woman whose husband passed away, and she stopped lighting candles, he gave her a big shvach. She showed Amuna.
What about this? I had a young man who was at the time sitting and learning. He wasn't. He was in his 20s, and he had been abused. He was very angry at God. He had gone through sexual abuse as a child, and he was very angry at God. And Yom Kippur, during the break in davening, he went to a tray for pizza shop and ate tray for pizza, just to tell God that he's angry. A Torah person, obviously, today's in his 30s, I still have a contact with him, and he's reached his equilibrium, thank God. But now, talk about faith in God. You know, he wanted to show God that he was angry. He didn't go to tray for pizza stores during the year. You know, Shem Shabbos, everything. But Yom Kippur, he thought about this. It was like, you know, like a Holocaust victim coming to the yard site day of the Holocaust. He's just so angry that's what he did.
you know, I have no doubt that he was some sort of einus when it happened, but my point is the faith that he had in Hashem. So Balak showed true emunah. And anyway, getting back to Balak, that's what happened to Balak, is that he got Rus to come from him. Now here's the kicker. We learn from Balak. When did Balak come to Lishma? When did Balak come to Lishma? So then the Tziv writes that Balishma sometimes comes out in the children, or the grandchildren. It won't come out with you, it'll come out some future time. Now that does not fit with the Netziv's great-grandfather's, Reb Chaim Volozhin, he was a descendant but at any rate, the point is that it doesn't stim. Reb Chaim Volozhin says, in the action, you'll come to Lishma. So, I don't know, maybe Rabbi Miller would say that while he's eating the pizza on Yom Kippur, that's treif. A certain emunah, a certain faith that he's showing.
Rabbi Miller says you learned from Bilam about Olam Haba also. He said, let my death be like the death of these people.
From Bilam as opposed to Balak. Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't being asked to be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Yeah, he wanted to die like a Jew dies. Yeah, it's like Katch. His whole life he didn't believe a thing. Why did he put Shema Yisrael on his tombstone? Well, I don't understand that. Well, that's a separate issue, but he got a heter, you know. He has to shail. But the Shema Yisrael, I mean, a man who doesn't live Shema Yisrael, why is he putting Shema Yisrael on his tombstone? And when it comes to death, people want orthodox, you know.
It's all he knew.
It may well be. I don't judge him. Anyway, getting back, we're a tangent from a tangent, but he's saying that a person who's constantly shaloi lishma, doesn't have a goal of lishma, is standing on the bottom rung of a ladder. And many people who are satisfied on the bottom rung of a ladder, is they compare themselves to other people, and they say, you know, I'm still a step higher than everyone else. But that's the law Masif Yosef, that's it's sad. You know, Palm used to say, a person shouldn't say, some people are satisfied. They say, look, you know, I'm doing a bunch of bad things, but everyone else is doing it. So wherever they go, you know, the person feels he'll go along with them. You know, misery loves company. That's not good. So that's his first point. V'shem yamer adam. Me'achar she'yev shaloi she'tchilas limud ayyeh l'shma. If he can't start learning l'shma, to stay l'shma is the einish is big. Im ken yeshem vatal v'la yilmid. He says, well, I got to start with this stuff. Don't think that because shloi l'shma is so bad, you'll just stay home. If you don't learn, chayev misa. It's noteworthy. He sticks in a vechulu as if to mask the word. It's just missing the word Torah mitzvahs. I can't answer that. Like I said, the Rambam seems to do it too. I don't know. If it bother you enough, you'll pursue it. I'll show you where it is in the Rambam. A separate point. Now here I have to tell you there's a letter from the Stipler, which is an important letter to Bnei Torah. The title, it's entitled in the Krayna Digrisa, something like, Bismaneinu Ein Lanu Ela Shaloi Lishma. He writes that, Bnei Torah, who are worried about the Lishma, end up, losing it. Like in our generation, there's so many things pulling a person away from learning, he just has to find some extra motivation. There's so much pulling a person away from Hatzalach and his learning. He's gotta find some extra motivation to be able to have Hatzalach in his learning. And he says to the person he's writing a letter to, don't worry so much about the Shaloi Lishma Lishma, you just learn. And, you know, even if it's Shaloi Lishma.
That could actually become a tool of the Eitz HaHara.
where he encourages the person to worry so much about the Lord Shema.
Yeah, the Yetzirah knows his job. Yeah. One more paragraph. Yifresh oid api masha kosev. Yifresh oid api masha kosev. Oirachayim lamayla lamaskil lamansur mishoel mata. The day of life above to one who understands, to go up. Lamansur mishoel mata, not to fall down to that other place. Ki adam yam lapamim, la yelach bigadaylais. Daily, imal mishmarati yamayda lazi bituasi, virasi v'loy laisif. A person be satisfied. He says, you know, human beings have to be happy. A person will say, I'm not looking for greatness. I'm satisfied being an Erlich Hayid. Of obey Miss Enikain. Kiyodam Iev Shalay Lamay B'mokem Echad. We know a rule. A person can't stand in one place. Im Loyale Akar Chachipo. If he won't go up, he's going to fall. L'kach Omar Oyrechayim L'mayla L'maskil. The path of life, to one who understands, is upwards. He's not going to move upwards. This is another pshat in the Loi Maisif Yosef. So Rechai Velazhina is explaining the Mishnah, which begs us to always look to growth. And it's sad when a person feels that you know, his kail years were his best years. You know, they were in his 20s. Hopes to live to his 80s or 90s, and it's very sad. People have to feel that they can accomplish at all times. Okay, I have a surprise for you next week. I hope to be here Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. I only have a wedding Sunday next week as of now, and so to be all the other nights.